It's a very popular story. Some of you may know it already. I'm just gonna read through it, and I'm gonna talk a little about it. Reading from the NIV. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli.
That wasn't the voice of the Lord, by the way. That was the voice of a singing microphone.
The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. So the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and he lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel! And Samuel got up and went to Eli. He says, here I am, you called me. Eli said, my son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Verse 7, key verse. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Verse 8, the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, I can imagine he must have been very frustrated. He's like, Eli, here I am, you call me. And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening, or your servant heareth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just pray. Dear God, this morning I stand before you, Lord, completely empty. Lord, which is cool because I just really desire that you just speak through me, Lord. That nothing clouds the words that you'll have me say to your people today and those people who you want to be your people. Lord, bless this time that we have together now. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. He's like, go back and lie down. Now, Eli is a godly man, right? He had some problems with his own kids, but Eli was a godly man. But many times our friends that we go to are not godly people, right? And so they don't really have the answer, but they pretend they have the answer. You know, sometimes you go up and says, hey, Kevin, I got this problem. I got this problem with my wife, with my family. You know, my wife wants to leave me. That's not true, by the way. It's illustrative purposes only. And Kevin doesn't have a word. He doesn't have any idea what kind of advice to give. But Kevin will say, this is what you should do, man. You should leave her first. That'll teach her. Right, but we see Eli's case here. Eli told him to go back and lie down. Go back and lie down. Till eventually, Eli told Samuel to say, speak, Lord, for the servant here. So the first point, why should we listen? Well, the obvious reason is that we don't want to get in trouble. We're scared of the consequences. That was the obvious reason for me growing up. You know, I didn't want to get in trouble, you know, all the time. And I got a lot of spankings growing up, you know. My mother will deny this to this day, but I still remember it. One day, she told me I was the worst child God ever breathed breath into. I still remember that. I think I'm scarred for life. That looks pretty scarred. But she told me I was the worst child God ever breathed breath into, to which I responded, and, you know, this is why I got in trouble. I said, I'm sure I'm not the worst because I knew I could think of many more children. Like, whack. So, but many times, that's the reason why we listen. We listen because we're scared of the consequences. Psychologists there call that negative reinforcement. The problem with that is that if that is the only reason that you're listening, you will always try to get away with stuff. You live by the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. Here's an illustration, true story. When I was a kid and I got my license, one day, you know, I told my mother I was going to the library, but I went to visit my girlfriend at the time. It was a friend who was a girl at the time. And on the way back home, I decided that I'd drive into the parking lot of the library, and then I went home, right? So when I got home, Mommy asked me, where are you coming from? I just left the library. That's what I call living within the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. And the problem is that if we listen to God, if we seek out God just because we're afraid of the negative consequences, that's exactly what we're doing. And we can get away with that. You can get away with that. You know, if you get scared into heaven, you're into heaven, right? But I want to tell you that you will always be better off if you listen because you want to listen as opposed to being scared of listening. See, there are a lot greater reasons to listen than fear. The first one is our first point there. The first one, as we see here, is to perceive what God wants me to know. To perceive what God wants me to know. I want to see a show of hands here. How many of you here believe that God has a plan for your life? God has a plan for your life. Okay, this one you may not want to show your hand. How many of you know what is God's plan for your life? Right at this moment in time. Right at this moment in time, because it changes all the time, right? It changes whenever, you know, he may have a plan for you right here and now, and he has one for you 2 weeks from now, whatever. But right here and now, how many of you know? I don't want you to show your hands. I want you to think about that. Question is, how many of you would like to live out that plan, would truly like to live out, be right in the center of the will of where God wants you to be? The bottom line is that you will never know what God wants from you, what God's plans for your life is, until you simply learn to listen to him. Because he wants to tell you. You know, God doesn't have some secret, you know, where he's like, hey, look, I got a plan for you, but I'm not going to tell you. And a lot of times you think that God is so mean. You know, he's like, you can't get this candy. God wants to tell you, and he's telling you, but many times we're just not listening. We're just not listening. You see, it even goes more than that. There's another reason why we should listen. Another reason is that it confirms that I am God's child. Earlier I told you the story of the field trip and Daniel and this boy that wouldn't listen to me. You see, Daniel didn't recognize my voice, right? Daniel, there was a sea of 59 kids and chaperones, plus all the other people in St. Augustine, and they were here talking, and Daniel run off, and I'd be yelling, Daniel! Daniel! And then I have Jonathan yelling at me, Daniel! And Jonathan has a big mouth, and we yelled, and Daniel wouldn't listen to me, because Daniel didn't recognize my voice. Interesting enough, there was a guy on the trip, and he was a tour guide, and this guy, I think his real name was James, but he told the kids on the bus, he says, my name is Marco Polo. Marco Polo. And whenever I say Marco, you guys should say Polo. Marco. The kids would yell back, Polo. But Marco Polo, James, had a unique thing that he did. He wanted the kids to know and to recognize his voice. So on the bus, when we started out the trip, Marco, when we started out the bus trip, he'd go, whoop, whoop. And he'd tell the kids to respond, whoop, whoop. And he'd go, whoop, whoop. And he did that so many times, it was so annoying. But you know what? we were in St. Augustine, and, you know, there was a couple times where we had to separate to go shopping. And Marco was ready to take us on to another area, and he'd go, whoop, whoop. And everybody, whoop, whoop. And you see all these kids just running together and just coming together. And it worked because they recognized Marco's voice. They recognized Marco's voice. Now, the cool thing is that, see, Jesus illustrates this in John 10, 27. It's there on your PowerPoint. He said, he was speaking to the religious leaders of the day. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I want to tell you something. It's important to hear from God and to recognize his voice. If you've gone on for years and years and years and years and years, and you keep praying and you keep reaching out, and you're saying, I can't hear God's voice. Listen to me closely. If you go on for years and years and years, and you say you can't hear God's voice, I'm not going to preach at you. I'm going to tell you to read that verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. So I tell you that either you're not a sheep or you're not listening. Either you're not a sheep or you're not listening. Check yourself. Check yourself. Another reason why we should listen is that it allows us to experience life's single greatest privilege. Life's single greatest privilege. The verse that's on the screen, I'm going to read verse 8 through 5 from in Psalms 8. It says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. I say that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Is that me, Gary Wallace, you, and you. God is mindful. God is mindful of us. He's very mindful of us. And that's why I like that song so much. Friend of God that Kevin sang earlier, that Kevin led the group in singing earlier. It says, who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? He says, the same God who's the creator of the universe, the same God who has brought all this world into order, the same God who has created this balance, this delicate balance. Thank you. It's the same God who desires a personal relationship with you. See, God tells you that he's not willing, he doesn't want anybody to perish, but that all would have life forever. See, he doesn't want you to die. You want to know what God's will is? He don't want you to die. That's part of his will. He don't want you to die. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should have life forever. And he's promised to give you all of this. He's promised all to give you all of this. You know, he's the one who says, hey, look, I not only came to give you life, but I came to give you even more than life. I came to give you life more abundantly. You know, and you know what's cool? You know what's really cool? He's not only concerned about tomorrow, but he's also concerned about what's happening to you right now, right here, right now. In verse 4, we talked about that he's mindful of us. So why should we listen to him? Because you will never, ever, ever, never, ever find a person who cares for you like Jesus. Amen. To think that the God of all creation has said that, hey, look, I listen to you and your individual thing when you call. That's pretty cool. To think that the God of all heaven says, hey, I know the number of hairs on your head. That's pretty cool. You ever wonder why would God even put that in the Bible? Why would he put it in the Bible that he cares about the number of hairs on our head? Because he just wanted to demonstrate to us that even the most minute things, the things that you don't think are very important, he cares about. He cares about. He also cares about our tears. The psalmist tells us that he sees every one of our tears and he puts them in a bottle and he writes our name in his book. This God wants to give you the greatest privilege. This God wants to give you the greatest privilege. You see, he can give you what no wife, no spouse, no parent, no friend can ever give. So check it out. Check it out. He's standing right now. He's standing right at the door. He's standing right at the door and he's saying, hey, listen up. Look up. Look up. Behold, I stand. I stand at the door. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in. And I'll sup with him. I'll have dinner with him. I'll hang out with him. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And I'm knocking and knocking. And Jesus wants you to have that relationship. He wants you to experience that life, that single greatest privilege, which is a personal relationship with the God of all creation. You know, right now, this is not in my hardly put together notes. But right here, right now, I'm going to pause. And I'm going to say, right now, if you want to hear, if you want to hear from God, if you want to know what God's plan for your life is, I'm just going to ask everybody to close your eyes. And I'm going to say a prayer, and you say the prayer with me, if that's what you want. I'm not going to call you out or anything, but I just feel the need to stop right here. Say this prayer with me. Lord God, I know that I can't do this alone. I know that I need your plan because it is better than my plan. So Lord, I want to hear your voice. Lord, I want to be your child. Come and take control of my life and be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my manager. Be my director. Be my all in all. Lord, I receive you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to tell you right now that if you said that prayer for the first time, that you're now God's child. And you are entitled to receive the single greatest privilege in life. So you may say, Gary, I get it. I get it. It makes sense that I should listen to him. The question is, how then? How should we listen to him? Well, from the Bible, when we examine the Bible, we know that there are a number of ways that God speaks to us. The first one and the primary one is through the Word of God, which is the Bible. The Bible also tells us some of the other ways. The Bible tells us that sometimes it can come through dreams and visions and through an inner small voice. Or in Samuel's case, it was a loud voice. And in Samuel's case, I'll mention that it was a loud voice because Samuel thought it was somebody actually calling him. That's how loud the Lord is trying to get Samuel's attention. It can be through other people. The verse in Proverbs says, make war in our peace except through the counsel of fellow godly people. It's through prophets. Prophets. Prophecy. There are two types of prophets. One that foretells the future and the other one that proclaims the word of the Lord. Okay. So this morning, I guess I am a prophet because I'm proclaiming the word of the Lord. So it's through prophets. The bottom line is that no matter what it is, however the Lord speaks to you, it has to be backed up by the Word of God. It cannot be in anything in contradiction to what is stated in the Word of God. So the Bible is the author and finisher. The Bible is a complete book. The Bible has everything that you need to know. Sometimes other people and other things are just used to illustrate and illuminate what's already written there. So if someone tells you something and he says, you know what, Ingrid, God has told me that you're going to be my second wife. You go back to the Bible, you say, you know, there's nothing inside here that looks like that. Right? You know, you tell me, depart from me, you devil. This is what you should tell me. If I said that, by the way, this is not just in general. See, regardless of how God had the method that God chooses to speak to us, the following holds true. I call them attitudes in listening. The first one is that we need to listen with undivided attention. The text in Proverbs, Proverbs 40, I don't know if it's on the PowerPoint there. Proverbs 40, 20 to 21. It says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." The text in Proverbs starts and says, "My child, pay attention to what I say." Now, the context there is it's a directive. It's like, "Hey, my child, listen up. Listen up. Pay attention to what I say." The undivided attention. It's like a drill sergeant who says, "Attention!" You know, you click his heels, right? I think they do something like that. It's like when a military commander says, "Hey, we're going to go take the hill. We're going to take the hill. And this is important. That's the same. And this is the instructions of how we're going to take that hill." That's the same attention that he's saying, "Hey, listen up. Listen up. Listen up to what I'm about to say. Listen up to what I'm about to say. This is important." The second attitude that we should listen with is with an attitude of teachableness. I think we just made that word up. Teachableness. It's an attitude of learning. Have you ever heard the saying, "You can bring a horse to the water, but you can't force him to drink"? You ever try doing that? You ever try to force somebody to drink? My niece, Nadia, when she was younger, she used to, she didn't like to eat. Right? And one time, my sister went out of town and she left Nadia with us, Donna and me, for the weekend. And I just knew that child was going to die because the child didn't eat anything and she's about this wide. Right? And so I was happy, you know, I got her to drink some, so there's this chocolate type drink called Milo. And I got her to drink some Milo and she took a little sip, right, to the Milo. And I was so happy that she drank the Milo. I'm like, "Yes, she's going to live." So I made some more Milo and I gave her more. And then she wouldn't drink. I'm like, "Come on, now, let's hold her." And we tried to feed her Milo and she went, we got back to square zero. There was no Milo in this child. I was so glad when her mother came home and she was still alive. I was like, here's your daughter back. You know, it's like she didn't die on me. Woo. You see, it's the same with learning. There's no amount of learning. Sorry, if you don't want to learn something, no amount of forcing you to learn is gonna make you learn. You see, you can force a child to go to school. And you force a child to go to school, if they don't want to learn, they'll do just enough so that they won't get into trouble. Right? But if they want to learn, they'll study. And they'll study hard. And it's a sad commentary in some of our schools these days that the kids don't want to learn. Right? And that's the same thing that the Bible is telling us, that we need to have an attitude of teachableness. Right? We don't want you to be forced to learn. We want you to want to learn and to want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. And when you want to learn, there's something important that you got to do. And that's study. And study that I'm talking about is studying the Bible. There's no better way of being in tune with the voice of the Lord than spending daily time in the Word. Let me say that once more time. If you want to hear from the Lord, you will not hear from the Lord unless you spend time in the Word. You got that? Let me say it one more time. If you want to know what's God's will for your life, and if you want to know what God is trying to tell you, the first place you got to start is in the Word. And some people may say, man, the Bible is so hard to understand. It's so hard to understand. But you know something? The more you read it, is the more it illuminates. And it comes alive. And it comes alive. And you start to find stuff inside you. It's like, whoa, I didn't know that existed. I say it all the time. Sometimes I say stuff in there, and I share it with the praise team. I'm like, whoa, guess what I found? And they're like, you just found that out? I found that out months ago. And it's the same thing, that they do to me. They say, Gary, look what I just found out. I'm like, got that months ago. But in all seriousness, if you want to find out what God wants to tell you, you got to open up the Word. You got to open up the Word. The third thing, the third attitude in learning, I call it self-discipline. Folks, I tell you, it's not easy to wake up early in the morning. It's not easy to stay up late at night when you're tired. It's not easy. Worse, it's not easy when you're doing it to pray and to read the Bible. Especially when it's cold. Yeah, it's cold and you got your comforter on and you don't want to get up. And it takes self-discipline. It takes self-discipline. See, I talked earlier about communication. Communication doesn't happen without time spending with each other. I'm very busy. And I would love every day to talk to Donna and to talk to my kids. Right? And I realized something. That if I don't carve out time to spend to talk to her, it doesn't happen. It's kind of bad, but I have to almost schedule time in. So my schedule, when I come in from work, I grab some food, I play with the kids a little bit, put the kids to bed. I talk to Donna for about half an hour to an hour till she crashes out in the couch. Maybe because I'm boring. She crashes out in the couch, and then I go back and finish doing the stuff that I need to get done. But I got to carve out time, because if I don't, we won't get any time and there won't be any communication. And I won't know what's going on, what she wants to tell me. And the first thing that we tend to do when time is of the essence, the first thing that we want to do is talk. And not listen. So you'll find out that what gives is spending time in the Word. And if you got 5 minutes, then you'll pray. You'll be just talking to God. Upward, one way. And you won't know. If it's one thing I want to leave you here with, is that you won't know what God's will is for your life without spending time in the Word to hear from the Lord. One thing. I'm going to harp that in. The final thing is focus. We should listen with focus. When I think about focus, I think in terms of sports. I think in terms of an archer, and he has his bow and arrow, and he's pulling back, and he's concentrating on the bullseye. And he's aiming for the bullseye. And at that moment in time, and you see it in Tiger Woods also, when he's up to, on the green to putt that ball in, the whole world could be storming around him. Tiger doesn't hear anything. That archer doesn't see or hear anything. It's a laser-like focus. I am interested in that bullseye. I'm interested in that bullseye. And what I'm here to tell you today is that the focus that I want you to have, I want myself to have in terms of listening to the Lord, is with that laser-like focus. Is when we sit down and we carve out, say it's half hour, say whatever time it is that you feel led to, and you carve out that time and you pray, and you talk to the Lord, and you say, Lord, what do you have to tell me? And you read the Word, you pause, and you meditate. Pause and you meditate. You read it and you just pause. And you hold it there. And the Lord will bring some passage of Scripture to you, and you open that passage of Scripture. And at this point, you know what the devil will try to do? He'll try to put in, man, I wonder who's going to win the Super Bowl tonight. Jeez, what's going on at work? I got all this work to do. In a second now, the kids are going to wake up. In a second now, the telephone's going to ring. I got to do this. Messing with your focus. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't let anything mess with your focus. Take that time, that half hour, that 20 minutes, that 50, whatever it is that you carve out and say, this is my time with the Lord. You spend X amount of time praying, X amount of time reading, and X amount of time meditating. Meditating, just waiting and asking, Lord, what is it that you would have me know today? What is it that you would have me do today? Lord, who is it that you would have me speak to today? Lord, I want to do your will. I want to do your will. Speak to me, Lord, and wait, and I guarantee it. Take it to the bank. After you do this a few times, you'll start to hear. You'll start to hear. And you'll find the Lord speaking to you in many different ways. It works, folks. It works. In conclusion, the quote that we have up on the screen says, the individual who listens to God with the intent of obeying will have the privilege of hearing God speak. Isn't that cool? The individual who listens to God with the intent of obeying will have the privilege of hearing God speak. I want you to ponder that for a moment. When you talk to God and you say, God, what would you have me do today? God, I have this thing that's bugging me. What should I do about this? God, there's problems in my marriage. God, there's problems in my finances. God, I'm burdened for my coworker right next to me. I'm burdened for my spouse. What should I do? What angle should I take to reach this person? Second point of that says, with the intent of obeying. And that's key. Because sometimes God's going to tell you to do some things that seems a little bit unorthodox. He's going to tell you something to do. He's like, but that don't make no sense. But when it doesn't make sense, he's going to confirm it. He's going to confirm it in some way, shape, or form. Do it. Nike. Just do it. When you have that intention of doing what is it that he tells you that he wants you to do, you will have the privilege of hearing God speak. In a moment, I'm inviting Kevin and the praise team to come on up as we close this off. And, you know, I just want to leave you with this. That obeying the Lord and listening to what he says, there's one word that encapsulates it all, and it's called honor. It's called honor. What my desire for you and for myself today is that it will be my desire, it'll be our desire to honor him, in taking the time that is necessary to speak with him and to listen to him and to hear him communicate with us. More importantly, to not only be hearers, but doers also. It is our desire to honor you.